The Guardian.
I was on my way out of a lecture by Menzi Simelane, South Africa's Director of Public Prosecutions, having tried in vain to draw him on the subject of Julius Malema. "Excuse me," came a voice from the shadows. "Did I hear you say you're a British journalist? I want to ask you a question. What do the British press think of South Africa?" It's one I get asked more and more often as the Football World Cup draws closer. Any negative UK headline or story quickly snowballs on the web and leaves South Africans feeling vexed. In short, they want to know of me, why do you hate us? There were preliminary skirmishes last month when President Jacob Zuma, on a state visit to Britain, was described by a Daily Mail headline as a sex-obsessed bigot and vile buffoon. Around the same time, reports on the state of England's training camp prompted the South African headline, "England hacks raining on World Cup parade again." I then went on a tour of the World Cup host cities, and at a stadium in Bloemfontein, hundreds of fans in team shirts had gathered to put questions to the organising committee. One rose to the microphone and asked why South Africans should welcome foreigners who appear so hostile. Jerome Valk, the Secretary General of FIFA, world football's governing body, elegantly sidestepped the question by saying there was one here who could answer. He meant me. He invited me to take the microphone, and I quickly saw he wasn't joking. So I stood on the pitch and addressed the crowd as if an ambassador for the British press, but pointed out it was a mistake to think it speaks with one voice. Later that week, I was interviewed on numerous South African radio stations, and again, the question was put, why are you guys so critical? These, I suspect, are the first spots of ash from a rumbling volcano. After the murder of white supremacist Eugene Tablanche, the Daily Star in Britain warned that England fans could be caught up in a machete race war at the World Cup. Noting that machete gangs were roaming the streets, it added, FIFA would be left with a total nightmare if civil war erupts and means the tournament cannot be played in the country this summer. South African politicians, probably not regular Star readers, were unimpressed. Lindiwe Mazibuko, national spokesperson for the Democratic Alliance, shot back, "The Daily Star claims that a civil war in South Africa could threaten our World Cup, but the truth is that the most serious threat to our World Cup is inaccurate propaganda, dressed up as factual reporting, that frightens away tourists in their thousands." For some patriots, it has become too much already. Carol Lazar, travel editor of the Star newspaper in South Africa, unleashed her frustrations. She wrote, "I and all my mates have really had enough crap from overseas miseries, who've only bad things to say about South Africa. I feel tempted to answer, stay away. We don't want you and your miserable attitude here." But intelligence tells me that the correct response is to say, come to our beautiful country and experience it for yourself. The sensitivities were evident last week when World Cup tickets went on sale over the counter. International media were invited to the ticket centre in Sandton, Johannesburg, to witness the happy news of local enthusiasm about the tournament. But the first fan, who had been queuing overnight for some 20 hours, spent what seemed an eternity talking to a ticket agent. He then tried to print his tickets from a computer kiosk, but it failed to work. He tried another kiosk, and that failed too. He turned to another agent for help. The whole process took nearly an hour, and the media scented a story. Danny Jordan, head of the organising committee, had been speaking with pride about a truly South African World Cup. "But what about the chaos?" asked a British journalist. "Chaos? What chaos?" was effectively the Jordan response. He became distinctly peeved, snapping that the reporter had obviously never tried queuing for an FA Cup final. One of his lieutenants was equally nettled, complaining, "Come on, give us a chance." Defensiveness is a dangerous PR tactic. Pretending that everything is all right can backfire and make things worse. The Pollyannas rarely come off well against the Piranhas. That night, Jordan appeared on national television to say that FIFA apologised for the computer glitches all over the country that had left thousands of fans angry and frustrated in long queues. South Africa is a glass half full or half empty. It's in the eye of the beholder. Spin doctors can paint a rainbow nation of multiculturalism, natural beauty, and Nelson Mandela, that has performed miracles in the past 16 years. Skeptical journalists can point to racial divisions, rampant crime, and cavernous inequality that keep apartheid's legacy burning. Both will be factually correct. At a recent public event in Johannesburg, I asked South African journalists what they made of the British press coverage of the World Cup and whether their professional instincts ever clashed with their patriotism. Mondly Makanye, then still editor of the Sunday Times, replied, "There has been this persistent questioning of our ability to actually host the Cup. I'm not one personally to shout racism at every turn, but it does at some point start to go there. You start to think, why is there this persistent questioning? We ourselves in this country as the media do not behave blindly patriotically about our ability and our readiness. We were very hard on the LOC and the government about the stadium readiness and the infrastructure. We were questioning them and they actually accused us of being unpatriotic." He added, "Now we're at a stage where a lot of the stadiums were ready ahead of time and the infrastructure is pretty much there. But there's a strand that runs through particularly the British and German media and a few others wanting to tell that negative story that this place should never have been granted the right to host the World Cup. There's part of it that knots the stomach. One doesn't know exactly where it comes from."
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.